This is CliffCentral.com.
Anthea has come in specially today because remember we were talking about this great new podcast series that Sundam have put together.
All right, I listened to the second episode yesterday.
Oh, you did?
It's interesting. I got to say, like, it's very interesting and thought-provoking.
So it's basically set in the year 2218, when someone will have lived to 200 years old. They say that the first person to live to 200 is already alive and among us. And it is also National Savings Month, which means it's time to talk about savings. And instead of talking about saving for a house or a car or new shoes or any of those practical but quite boring things that have been covered ad infinitum, I thought we'd get Anthea in because she is our money person. Whenever we have to talk about money, we have to get Anthea's opinion, otherwise it doesn't count. And how would you save enough money to last for 200 years? Is it even possible to do that? And would you have to work forever? Or will money not feature in the future? I mean, there's so many questions about this. The 200-year-old podcast is here, a South African podcast that looks deep into the future and how we might prepare better for it. It features the voices of Nambita Mpulwana and Thapelo Mokoena and is based on leading science and expertise. The whole thing is put together by Sundam, who turned 100 this year. So you can see a whole lot of the numbers are starting to make sense. And they are looking ahead to the future. Do yourself a favor and listen to it today at the200yearold.co.za or look out for it on most major podcast apps. You can also go to cliffcentral.com for all of the links. So I thought, Anthea, it would be a good idea to talk to you about what kind of a future we'd need to plan for if we were to live to 200 years old. What would change? What would be to our benefit and what would be to our detriment?
So, Gareth, the first thing I want to talk about is what you've mentioned about the savings. You make such a good point. You know, there's one thing saving for a car, deposit on a home, pair of shoes, and then there's another thing investing. Mm-hmm. And how do you invest or plan for if you're going to live to 200 years? Just the first thing on saving, in March of this year, the South African household savings rate turned negative.
Not good.
So we're not saving. In fact, we're using credit and debt to keep ourselves going. The consumer's under a lot of pressure. You know, high unemployment means more demands on people's salaries, higher inflation, petrol prices. You know the story, right? You've done this before.
So is that the story for now? I mean, that's the actual what's going on right now.
Right now, yes. And so obviously if people are not saving, it means that if they're not forced to, they're not contributing to their pension or provident fund at the moment, which is terrible. And according to National Treasury, only 6% of South Africans will be in a position to retire at the same standard of living they enjoyed pre-retirement.
6%?
Wow.
You do not want to be in that 94%.
Jesus. What are they going to do? That's a very scary prospect.
Incredibly so. I mean, I suppose we have to be careful about things like you don't want to go into retirement with debt, credit cards, you want good medical aid, you want to be able to sustain yourself all the way through. And according to research, you need a capital sum of, like going into retirement, of 17 times your final annual salary before tax. So if you're making R1 million a year at the age of 65, you need to have in the bank or in your investments R17 million. Whoa. And that is so that you can retire with an income equal to 75% of your final salary. So now you've already cut
out less than your final salary, and you still need that kind of money.
Absolutely. And it used to be 11 times. It's now 17 because people are living longer. So these are because through the calculated using actuarial tables.
All right, there are a couple of things that we need to either include or exclude from this possible future scenario. First one is, you might be healthy enough to keep working for longer, which would mean that over your lifetime you could accumulate more. You could.
Yeah,
technically,
sure.
if you saved 5 to 10% of your salary, you would be able to save more over that period. I mean, obviously that's very little. You'd need to save more. And then there's the obvious benefit of time in terms of being able to invest. Because time, in your calculations, you've told us before, time is the magic ingredient. It's not so much what your capital amount is at the beginning. It's not so much how your contributions escalate over time. It's not about interest. It's time is the one thing we can do nothing about. But now, if we do live to 200, there is suddenly something we can do about time.
Yeah.
And you mentioned before to us, if you were an investor in the JSE, for example, over a period of 100 years, you would have seen massive improvements in your investment.
Yeah. So you obviously understand the mathematics of compound interest, right? So I'll give you a good example. If two people invested 500 Rand a month, increasing their investment by 5% every year, so pretty much in line with inflation, and they were getting an average return of 15% per annum. The JSE, by the way, has returned 16% per annum over the last, on average, over the last 20 years or so. So 15 is not unrealistic. If you start investing at the age of 20 versus someone who started investing at the age of 30, the difference at age 65 is 17 million rand. So the first person who started investing at the age of 20, so with those parameters, 500 rand a month, increase it every year by 5%, getting a return on average of 15%, not withdrawing, not taking any money out, you would have close to 23 million rand at the end of it. If you only started at the age of 30, you'd have just over 5.5 million rand. That's the difference between 10 years of investing.
Wow.
That's compound interest for you.
So you can only imagine what would happen over 100 years.
So here's a bit more mathematics. If you retire at the age of 70, so in other words, just delaying it by 5 years, the person who started investing at age 30 will have 11.5 million rand, while the person who started investing at the age of 20 will have 46.5 million rand.
Wow.
And that's simply 500 rand a month, increase it by 5% every year, get your average JSE return, start 20 and retire a little bit later. That's 46.5 million rand. So it can work. So you can make it work for you. I mean, I think the difficulty we all know is the discipline to actually do that and to invest. That's kind of the big thing, right?
I mean, that's quite something to think about. And time really here does give you an enormous advantage.
Yeah. And, right. I think everybody's life is different, right? Mm. Different people have different cash flows. So somebody who works in corporate and gets their salary every month, it's a bit easier than an entrepreneur whose cash flow is maybe disjointed and not kind of as smooth, if you like. And if you want to check, I can give you an example of how to check if you are on your way to getting the 17 times your annual salary. So after 5 years of working, you should have accumulated 1.2 times your annual salary. After 10 years, 2.3 times your annual salary at the time. So, am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
If after 5 years of working, you're earning 1 million rand, and I'm using round numbers here,
right.
not putting anyone under pressure. After 5 years, if you're earning 1 million rand, you should have 1.2 million rand in the bank. After 10 years, if you're earning 1 million rand, you should have 2.3 million rand in the bank. And so that gives you your kind of number, because you were saying, oh, you know, 5%. But actually, to achieve this, you need to be contributing between 11 and 13% of your monthly salary to your pension fund. And then you need to be increasing it annually by inflation at least.
Now, who is doing that? Far too few people, right?
Well, that's the problem. That's why National Treasury says that only 6% of us are going to retire comfortably.
Okay, well, let's look at what the best case scenario is, if that's the least you could do. Because with the benefit of time, as I said earlier, you could really turn some investments into monstrous money with the benefit of, you know, 50 years instead of 20.
Right. So we were talking about the JSE returning 16% on average per annum. So here's me and my numbers this morning. Here's another number for you. If you are receiving 12.5% per annum, every 5 years, you are doubling your money.
Hmm.
So let's say you put 1 million rand into the bank or into your investments and you receive 12.5%. You're not going to get that in the bank, by the way, because interest rates in the bank currently, what, 5% maybe?
Yeah.
Money markets are slightly more risky, but those are your unit trust yielding instruments. They're not shares, so they won't accumulate as quickly as shares, but on the money market you're getting between 7.5% at the moment, I'm guessing. In shares, so the problem, of course, with the JSE is that it doesn't go up in a straight line. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was giving you the example that if you put your money, you invest your money, 1 million rand, at 12, and you receive 12.5% per annum, you don't withdraw any, you leave it there, all the money you make just gets compounded, you'll double your money. After 2 years, you'll have 2 million rand, as I said. Now, the problem with the JSE is that, and this is where we have to understand risk and our personal risk, because the JSE doesn't go up in a straight line. Some years it'll go up 20%, some years it'll be down 20%, some years it'll be flat. The issue, of course, is that if you are wanting to withdraw that money during that period, then you'll lose out. And that's risk. Risk is timing of your withdrawals, basically. So in 2008, if you had invested in 2008 by, I think it was August, September of 2008, you would have lost 30% of your money. If you'd withdrawn it, you would have realized that loss of 30%. If you had left your money in for another 2 years, you would have gotten back to where you were initially. If you'd left it in for another 2 years, you would have doubled your money. Huh. So that is the JSE. And that's what makes people nervous.
Right. We could be going into a future where there'll be massive boom periods and massive declines. You don't know.
That's it. So you have to give yourself enough time. You just hang in there, stick with it, be disciplined.
All right. Well, some people are sending us messages about this. So someone wants to know here, for example, here's a question. Where is it possible for people to save this kind of money, Anthea? You're being unrealistic, says somebody.
I am not at all being unrealistic. No. Well, anywhere. It's fairly simple, actually.
All right. What about things that could be dangerous to deal with? Let's say that it becomes very expensive to live in the future. Everybody's saying that the opposite will be true, that there'll be lots of resources and it'll be much cheaper. And, you know, supply will be meeting demand almost at every turn, and that we will be able to do things a lot cheaper because of technology.
Yeah, Gareth, unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about inflation. That's a reality, and that's why you kind of have to start saving early, be disciplined, and have spare cash. That's all I can say. You can't predict the future. It's so hard to do. It's really impossible.
Well, they're going to try, because listen to the 200-year-old, which is a future-facing podcast based on leading science experts. As Sanlam turns 100, they're looking ahead to the future. Visit the200yearold.co.za to listen, or find out more on cliffcentral.com. Thank you, Anthea.
Just over and above this whole financial thing and savings, that second episode is very interesting about when it comes to labor and employment and competition for places and things like that. So this podcast, you think, is going to touch certain areas, but there are so many different human dynamics that come into play once people start living almost double lives.
Yeah, and people consume, right? So you've got to be able to defer consumption. That's another thing you could probably do. Hey, listen, I know it sounds impossible, it sounds really hard, but if you don't hear these things, you won't even be able to make strides in the right direction. Got to start somewhere.
It's happening fast, and it's happening now.
This is CliffCentral.com.